Welcome to Lessons I've Learned, a series of podcasts by global consultant, best-selling author, and former Harvard Business School professor, David Maister.
Hi, I'm David Maister, and this is Lessons I've Learned. This series is on how to develop your business through marketing, client service, and client relationships. This, the third episode in a series of 14, is about listening to clients, the first critical activity in the overall development package. This episode is called Listening to Clients. For professional service firms, no less than for any other kind of business, a primary means of achieving a competitive advantage is to have a better understanding of the wants and needs of your clients than your competitors do. This deeper understanding, if you're going to get it, comes from a very straightforward activity, listening to your clients. Now, listening means more than just informal, opportunistic information gathering when you're pursuing new clients or just keeping your eyes open during the current assignment. And it can't just be restricted to special once every 3 years market research efforts when you're doing strategic planning. Rather, what it means is that you have an ongoing process of creating opportunities for clients to talk to you in an environment where they let their hair down and share with you their preferences, their desires, and their requirements. The questions, what do our clients need and what do they want, must be continuously addressed through a structured program of information gathering, analysis and action, all built into your daily operations or the daily operations of your firm. Few professional firms have such a program. What clients want is a source of endless debate and speculation in many firms, but few make use of the most obvious means of answering this question, going to the horse's mouth and asking the client. Stated simply, professional firms don't listen to their clients enough. This episode describes some of the various means and purposes of listening to clients and evaluates each of these mechanisms. Why are we listening to clients? The purpose is twofold. We want to get their evaluation of current services and thereby improve the competitiveness of what we do. And the second is we want to identify opportunities to provide new services by getting them to help us understand their new needs. By inviting evaluations of current services, we create the opportunity to improve. As the Japanese manufacturers say, a defect is a treasure. In other words, by eagerly seeking out one's defects, studying them carefully to identify how and why that performance failure occurred, one gets the opportunity to improve. If you avoid feedback from those you serve, you never get the chance to learn how to be a more effective competitor. To study defects, a manufacturer can examine the product on the shop floor. A professional firm does not have this option. If there's a flaw in performance, only one person's opinion counts, the client's. The client's perspective is even more important in identifying the need for new services. The professional may form an opinion on the market's need for an additional service or speculate on how the market's needs are changing, but these conclusions are useless until the client has been heard from. Accordingly, no professional firm or individual professional can engage in strategic thinking or decide which of two forms of marketing or investment is worthy until it's received client input. Obviously, the firm that has a program of continuously soliciting, analyzing, and acting upon such input will be better positioned to capitalize on strategic opportunities than another firm which gets such input on an opportunistic, irregular basis. So, let's dig into the various means of listening to clients. There are many ways to do it, including some that I won't mention here, but let's start with some of the ones I've observed which have proved to be most productive. They include, number one, user groups, number two, reverse seminars, number three, attending your client's industry meetings, number four, market research, five, senior visits, number six, debriefings with your engagement team, and finally, systematic client feedback. Let's start with user groups. The concept of user groups, familiar in industries such as software, is, I have learned, equally applicable and valuable in any professional service arena. It's a simple idea. A workable structure is as follows. You invite, say, four or five or up to seven clients and say, would you be prepared to attend periodic meetings with us, you know, maybe at a nice restaurant in town, to discuss our firm's service offerings in a particular area? Now, we're not trying to sell anything to you. We'd like you to come to a nice dinner in a private room at a restaurant. And what we'd like is permission to tell you our ideas about how we're planning to improve our services to you and people like you. And would you, after that nice dinner, give us the opportunity to hear from you of what do you think of our ideas? Are we thinking of the right kinds of things? Should we be stressing other things? In other words, by letting our clients know what our thinking is on our strategic plan, we're actually getting the client's reactions. My rule is always, never speculate when you can ask. I have lots of clients who ask me, the consultant, well, what do you think of our strategic plan? And I always say, well, have you asked your clients? And they're often surprised. They say, we cannot tell our clients what we're trying to do. Well, of course, not only can you, you must. It is only the clients who know whether your strategic ideas and your marketing ideas are likely to work. My experience with user groups is that they work best when they are done for a particular service or a particular practice area rather than for the firm as a whole. I've learned that clients readily consent to participate. After all, if the firm is really trying to find out how to be more valuable to them, then it is in their interest to be of assistance. More often than not, I've seen clients be both candidly critical and constructive in their comments. They readily point out which proposed changes do nothing for them and which needs they have that are going unmet. In effect, a well-functioning user group does the strategic planning for the firm. Let's move on. Number 2, reverse seminars. If a seminar is where you or the professional firm invites a group of clients together and talks to them, then a reverse seminar is where you or the firm invite the client executives to come and talk to you, the members of the firm. A typical request would go something like this. Dear client, we're very interested in you and your business. Unfortunately, only a few of us get the chance to visit with you in the course of our work together. So, would you be prepared to come to our offices on a Thursday evening after work, maybe for a drink or two, and then give us a brief talk about what's going on in your world? We don't want you to comment on our current services, and we certainly don't want you to prepare anything. Let's keep this informal. Just tell us what's on your mind in your business, and maybe you'd be prepared to answer a question or two from our people. We do hope you'll accept, as we're keen to learn even more about you, your company, and your industry. And you may want to think, what percentage of your clients would actually accept the offer to come in and talk to your people? I think you'll be surprised at what percentage would actually be very grateful for the opportunity for them to talk and have you listen. The benefits of this practice are many. First, most clients will be flattered to be asked to speak and will take the invitation of what it's meant to be, a sincere indication that the firm cares about its clients and wants to learn more about them. To this extent, the reverse seminar is a powerful client relationship management mechanism. Second, reverse seminars add to the knowledge base of your firm. In most professions, the individual professions are skilled in their technical specialty, be it law, accounting, actuarial science, public relations, or whatever it is you do. However, to be a skillful advisor requires that you understand not only your specialty, but also the business environment in which your clients operate. Yet few professions make any formal provision for us to acquire general business knowledge as we progress in our careers. The reverse seminar, particularly if it's done on a regular basis, some of my clients hold one every 2 weeks with different clients, provides the mechanism to expose you and your staff, juniors and seniors alike, to the thinking of business people. You will be so much better at saying and doing the right things if you have repeatedly listened to clients talk about their business. Of course, the other great benefit of this reverse seminar is they will tell you about their additional needs and you'll have the opportunity to get back to them. You will have to act with some social graces, of course. You don't want to have a proposal emailed to their desk before they even get back there. The third benefit is that you get the chance to identify these future business development opportunities, particularly if the audience contains not only the professionals from the practice area currently working with the firm, but those in other disciplines. This must be treated carefully. If the clients come to perceive that they're being invited not to be listened to, but to be sold something, they are unlikely to participate. As in all things to do with business development, you must earn things, not ask for them. My experience informs me that this is not too difficult to police, and is a matter of style and timing as much as anything else. If the client expresses a need in the presentation, he or she can be asked if a further meeting to discuss this issue is desired. Most clients who express a need, in fact, would be willing to listen to a proposal about solving that need, but only when they have identified the need first. The third tactic to consider is attending client industry meetings with your client. A valuable opportunity to listen to clients talk about their challenges, their interests, and their needs is to go where they go to discuss such subjects, and that is their industry or trade meetings. My professional firm clients report to me that the value of attending such meetings is greatly enhanced if you attend with a respective client, so that an instantaneous evaluation of everything that happens can be obtained. You can turn to your client and say, "Do you agree with what that other speaker just said? Do you think you'll have to deal with that? What does this really mean for you?" Such a conversation can only enhance your own evaluation and interpretation of the subjects covered at such meetings. Naturally, the value of attending the client industry meeting is greatly enhanced if the individual professional attending has an obligation to circulate within the rest of the firm a written summary of the intelligence gathered. It's important not only to find out what clients think, but to spread it around. The fourth method of trying to get inside the client's head is to do formal, often third-party market research. It is a primary means of listening to the market. In the professional service world, it continues to play an important role, but often a slightly different purpose than it does in corporations. Almost by definition, professional service firms do not serve a mass market. Each of their projects, engagements, or matters are customized to specific client needs. Accordingly, that form of market research which provides aggregated results of what large number of clients think is really not directly helpful as it may be in other businesses. This is not to say that there's no role for market research, but that the best kind is disaggregated things like focus groups, which are much more helpful in professional environments. Focus groups work well, I've learned, particularly if the clients participating consent to be videotaped. A videotape of clients expressing their needs, concerns, and challenges has a much greater impact on professionals than numbers on a page, no matter how statistically valid. You can show that videotape at many subsequent meetings and constantly go back to what did the client say about what they needed and what does that mean about how we approach them. The fifth tactic for listening to clients is senior visits. Now, what this means is that you use the senior officers of your organization to go visit your clients and say, "As a representative of the firm, we just want to visit with you to make sure that you're receiving from us everything that you expected to receive, and also to talk about the other things that are going on in your world." Frequently, these visits are conducted not in the client's offices, but over dinner. The virtues of this practice include not only quality assurance, how are our people serving you and are you getting all you need from them, but also creates the opportunity to converse on the longer term issues that it might be difficult for the engagement team to do. Frequently, the professional firm's senior officers can, because of their position, arrange meetings higher up in the client organization than the service team can, thus gaining exposure to a broader and deeper view of the client's challenges, concerns, and needs. Number six in our list of ways of listening to clients is debriefings of the engagement team or the service team. At the best professional service firms, it's routine practice to require that at the end of each and every client project, the engagement leader will sit down with the client to obtain the client's feedback on what went well, what went less well, and how the engagement might have been improved. These discussions might cover not only the technical quality and success of the project, but how the professional firm's interface with the client might be improved. These conversations, if they're conducted with candor, are often the source not only of good ideas for improvement that can be deployed on subsequent engagements, but, and I've heard this repeatedly from my clients, often highlight additional unresolved issues, perhaps not formally within the scope of the current engagement, but that represent immediately new business for the professional firm. The power of these debriefings are such that some of my clients, a firm-wide requirement is made so that the professional staff have to file a debriefing report so that ideas for improvement obtained from the clients are formally captured and become part of the intellectual capital of the firm. Such a requirement ensures that the debriefing meetings are indeed held on a routine basis and that there is a mechanism for capturing and disseminating the feedback obtained. Number 7 on our methods of listening to clients is client feedback, organized on a systematic basis. As valuable as engagement debriefings can be, there's another form of client feedback that's even more powerful. And that's the system whereby the firm adopts a mandatory policy of sending a questionnaire to clients at the end of each engagement, inviting the client to evaluate the firm. Although common in the general consumer service world, such feedback questionnaires are as yet not completely common amongst professional firms. They're often resisted on the grounds that they are unprofessional and represent a poor substitute for person-to-person means of getting feedback, such as the engagement debriefings. If we recognize that one device is not a substitute for the other, but rather a complement, then we must ask, what would a questionnaire mechanism accomplish if engagement debriefings are already being performed? The answer is that questionnaire comes to the client from the firm, not the individual, and may solicit comments that the client might not be willing to express face-to-face. Second, the questionnaire is an institutional mechanism and helps accomplish the goal of firm-wide quality assurance, as well as providing a means for the firm to systematically track its quality performance, watch for trends, and hence opportunities for improvement that might not be highlighted just by looking at individual engagement debriefings. Finally, the questionnaire itself, the act of asking for feedback, signals to clients a willingness to listen and respond. Let me summarize. The mechanisms described here are not new. Individual examples of each of these tactics can be found in many separate firms. In all good firms, individual practitioners are actively listening to their personal clients. What may be missing in many firms, however, is the mechanism to assemble each of these data points, these pieces of client intelligence, and transform them into useful information that the firm can use to improve its performance and plan its strategies. It is this need not only to get client feedback, but to use it that constitutes the challenge to professional firms today. A firm that put together a full program using most, if not all, of the elements described above would indeed have a competitive advantage. Nowadays, there's a lot of use of the term that marketing has to stop being preaching to clients as a one-way activity, that what marketing is really is all about is creating conversations. And listening to clients is part of that conversation. I'm David Maister, and this has been Lessons I've Learned. Thanks for listening. If you found this podcast helpful, go to my website, davidmaister.com, where you'll find many other resources covering these and many other topics.